Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Our first tour begins in September 2007 in the French Alps, but we have many more tours in the planning stages for 2008 and beyond. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Welcome back to the Daily Tour Podcast. We've been off for a couple of days. The Peloton was off for a day, so we've got a lot to catch up on. Let's get right into it. Let's talk a little bit about Saturday's Stage 7. Now, Saturday's Stage 7 took the Peloton from Bourg-en-Bresse to Le Grand Bornand. It was a 197.5-kilometer stage, two intermediate sprints, one Category 4 climb, two Category 3 climbs, and as I told you about in the last podcast, one Category 1 climb. This was going to be the toughest climb that the riders had faced yet far. It's the Col de la Colombière, and it was just 14.5 kilometers from the finish. Now, going into that day's stage, we had two withdrawals. Oscar Freire, who is always near the front of the peloton from Rabobank, the Spanish rider, withdrew from the race, as did another Spanish rider, Sonier Duval's Ruben Lobato. Now, even before Saturday's Stage 7 began, it was clear that this was going to be one of the hardest stages the Peloton had yet faced, just by looking at the route map and the elevation profile. Now, as I mentioned at the end of last week, one of the toughest parts about this stage would be the Category 1 Col de la Colombière, whose summit was a mere 14.5 kilometers from the finish line in Le Grand Bornand. On the first intermediate sprint at 16.5 kilometers to go into the stage, it was the traditional sprinters who took the points, with Tom Bonin taking first place points, second Eric Zabel, and third Daniela Bonatti from Lamprey. Now, the summit of the first climb, which was the Category 3 Côte de Corlière, was at 35.5 kilometers. Michael Rasmussen, who is a two-time winner of the polka dot jersey in the Tour de France, charged up to the summit and let the Peloton know that he meant business this year, perhaps a shade of things to come. He took first place points at the top, with second place going to Gorka Verdugo from Euskaltel, and third going to Sylvain Chavanel from Cofidis, a rider whose name we've heard a lot this year at the top of mountains. Now, meanwhile, at the back of the pack, the green jersey of Tom Bonin got dropped, along with green jersey contender Robbie McEwen. This was something I mentioned in the last edition of the Daily Tour podcast. You see, once we hit the mountains, the sprinters tend to fall off the back or even abandon, although nobody expected either of these two to leave the race at this point. Now, as the peloton headed down the backside of the mountain, a break formed, consisting of 12 riders who were soon to be joined by another three. The 15 were Linus Gerdman from T-Mobile, Benoit Vaugrenard from Française du Jeu, Dmitry Fofanov from Crédit Agricole, Egoy Martinez from Team Discovery, Fabian Wegman from Gerold Steiner, Inigo Landaluz from Euskaltel, Paolo Salvadelli from Astana, Juan Antonio Flecha from Rabobank, Martin Elminger from AG2R, Ruben Perez from Euskaltel, Bram Tankink from Quickstep, José Iván Gutiérrez from Casse d'Epargnier, Laurent Lefebvre from Borges Telecom, Jerome Pinault from Borges Telecom, and David De La Fuente from Sonier Duval. At the second intermediate sprint of the day, Linus Gerdman attacked the break to take maximum green jersey points. Second went to Ruben Perez and third to Bram Tankink. Gerdman then sat up and waited for the rest of the group, thereby conserving his energy, and I think this was a tactic that would serve him well later in the day. At the summit of the second climb of the day, the Category 3 Côte de Creuset, 122.5 kilometers into the race, it was David De La Fuente from Sonier Duval in first, Laurent Lefebvre in second, and Benoit Vaugrenard from Française du Jeu in third. Meanwhile, in the Peloton, CSC and Predictor Lotto were leading the charge with high-profile riders Fabian Cancellara, in the yellow jersey, of course, Stuart O'Grady, and surprisingly, at least to me, based on where he's sitting right now in the general classifications, Dave Zabriskie. All three of those were setting the pace. Next up was the fourth category climb, the Côte de Péguin. David De La Fuente was in first, Laurent Lefebvre in second, and Dmitry Fofanov in third. And now the fireworks were to begin. The final climb of the day, once again, the aforementioned Col de la Colombière. It's 1,618 meters high. That's 5,300 feet. The base is at 512 meters. That's 1,700 feet, with a total ascent of 16 kilometers, or 10 miles, and an average gradient of nearly 7%. This was no walk in the park. And as the cyclist reached the beginning of the climb, Jose Gutierrez of Castepagnier attacked the break. He was soon joined by De La Fuente, Gerdman, and Fofanov. But by the time they reached the top of the climb, Gerdman had surged past the break and summited alone, looking like he was going not only for the stage win, but also the yellow jersey. At the top of the final climb, the order was Gerdman, Landaluz, De La Fuente, Lefebvre, Fofanov, Elmiger, and Rasmussen. And at the end of the stage, it was Gerdman who held on to win in 4 hours, 53 minutes, and 13 seconds, 40 seconds ahead of second place Inigo Landaluz, a minute 39 ahead of third place David De La Fuente, 2:14 ahead of Juan Soler, and 2:21 ahead of Laurent Lefebvre. By winning in such dramatic fashion, Gerdman not only won the stage, he won the white jersey, the red numbers, which we're going to talk about a little later as the day's most aggressive rider, and took the yellow jersey away from CSC's Fabian Cancellara. So the final results of this stage showed Linus Gerdman in first place winning the stage, then Inigo Landaluz from Euskaltel. Third place went to David De La Fuente from Sonier Duval. Fourth, Mauricio Soleil from Team Barlow World. Fifth, Laurent Lefebvre from Borges Telecom. Sixth, Fabian Wegman from Team Gerolsteiner. Seventh, Juan Manuel Garate from Quickstep. Eighth, Javier Florencio. Ninth went to Christophe Moreau from France and AG2R. And tenth, Alejandro Valverde from Spain and Castepagna. Now, the top 20 at the end of Stage 7 looked like a who's who of tour contenders for this year. In the overall standings for the general classifications in first place and the yellow jersey, once again, Linus Gerdman from Germany and T-Mobile. Second, Inigo Landaluz from Spain and Euskaltel. Third, David De La Fuente from Spain and Sonier Duval. In fourth, Laurent Lefebvre. In fifth, Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez, also known as Juan Soler or Mauricio Soler, from Team Barlow World, his first time in the Tour de France and also his team's first time in the Tour de France. In sixth, Andreas Klöden from Team Astana, coming back quite well from the past couple of days and injuries. In seventh, Vladimir Gusev from Russia and Team Discovery. In eighth, Vladimir Karpets from Castepagna. In ninth, Mikel Astarloza from Euskaltel. And in tenth, Thomas Dekker from the Netherlands and Team Rabobank. The yellow jersey at the end of the day, once again, Linus Gerdman. In the green, Tom Bonin with 147 points. In the white jersey, Linus Gerdman once again from Germany and T-Mobile. And in the polka dot, Sylvain Chavanel from France and Team Cofidis with 40 King of the Mountains points. Moving forward to Sunday's Stage 8, which was another killer. It was from Le Grand Bornand to Tien, 165 kilometers, two intermediate sprints, a Category 4 climb, a Category 3 climb, a Category 2, and three, count them, three Category 1 climbs. This was yet another stage to separate the men from the boys in the peloton of the 2007 Tour de France. Now, you'll remember yesterday that I said that Michael Rasmussen had arrived on the scene ready to show the peloton that he was here and that he meant business. And he is a traditional polka dot jersey contender. This year, however, there were signs that he might be looking for something more. Now, a lot of the bloggers and the Twitterers and the podcasters out there are talking about something that Rasmussen is well known for, which is the so-called chicken run, named after the movie. And that's because Rasmussen is known as the chicken. That is his nickname by the other riders in the Peloton, specifically because they say that he looks like a particular cartoon chicken. I suppose if you look at him at the right angle, you might agree. But the question at the beginning of this stage was, would Rasmussen go off on one of his chicken runs, a transalpine ride well out ahead of the pack, to steal away the polka dot jersey? And this was no doubt his stage. Now, this stage had so many climbs and a couple of sprints, it's very difficult to give you just a blow-by-blow of exactly what happened to the stage. But suffice it to say that Rasmussen did exactly what a lot of people expected him to do, and that is that he attacked. He attacked at the base of the fourth climb, which is a Category 1 climb, the Cormier de Roseland, and that the summit of that is at 65.5 kilometers before the finish, or 99.5 kilometers from the start of the race. He attacked, he bridged the gap to the leaders of the race at that point, and from then on, it was all Rasmussen to the end of the stage. As a matter of fact, for much of the day when he was leading, he had two other riders with him, but even though they were with him, he was doing all of the work of the stage, letting no one take over the lead. He was leading the pace. His head was set on a stage victory and perhaps on the yellow jersey and the polka dot jersey at the end of the day. By the end of the day's racing, it was indeed Michael Rasmussen from Denmark and Team Rabobank winning the stage in 4 hours, 49 minutes, and 40 seconds. That was 2 minutes and 47 seconds behind second-place finisher Iban Mayo from Spain and Sonier Duval. Third place, Alejandro Valverde from Spain as well, 3 minutes and 12 seconds behind Rasmussen. At the same time, fourth place, Christophe Moreau from Denmark and Team Rabobank, again, 3 minutes, 12 seconds. Also at the same time, Frank Schleck from Luxembourg and Team CSC. Same time, sixth place, Cadel Evans from Australia and Predictor Lotto. Also the same time from Team Astana and Kazakhstan, Andrei Kachechkin, 3 minutes and 12 seconds. 3 minutes and 31 seconds behind Michael Rasmussen was Alberto Contador from Discovery and Team Spain, if you will. In ninth, Denis Menshov from Russia and Team Rabobank, 3 minutes and 35 seconds. And rounding out the top 10, Carlos Sastre from Spain and Team CSE, again, 3 minutes and 35 seconds. By the end of the day's racing, we had once again another mix-up in the general classification. First place now in the yellow jersey, Michael Rasmussen from Denmark and Team Rabobank. Second place yesterday's yellow jersey leader, Linus Gerdemann from Germany and T-Mobile, 43 seconds behind Rasmussen. 2 minutes, 39 seconds back, and in third place, Iban Mayo from Sonier Duval and Spain. In fourth place, Alejandro Valverde from Castiparna, 2 minutes and 51 seconds back. In fifth, Andrei Kachechkin from Kazakhstan and Team Astana, 2 minutes and 52 seconds back. In sixth, 2 minutes and 53 seconds back, Cadel Evans from Australia and Predictor Lotto. In seventh, Christophe Moreau from France and AG2R, 3 minutes and 6 seconds back. In eighth, from Team Discovery, Alberto Contador, 3 minutes and 10 seconds back. In ninth, Frank Schleck from Luxembourg and Team CSC, 3 minutes and 14 seconds back. And in tenth, Denis Menshov from Russia and Team Rabobank, 3 minutes and 35 seconds back. At the end of the day, once again in the yellow jersey, Michael Rasmussen. In the green still, Tom Bonin from Belgium and Quickstep with 147 points. In the white, Linus Gerdemann from Germany and T-Mobile. In the polka dot, Michael Rasmussen winning his third tour stage and maybe looking for his third polka dot jersey. He had 82 points. And surprise of all surprises, for the day's most aggressive rider, Michael Rasmussen would be wearing the red numbers come Tuesday for stage number 9. Now, there were also a number of casualties from the day's racing. The casualties included Stuart O'Grady from Team CSC, who crashed, and that's really a shame. He's always an exciting rider in the Tour de France. Robbie McEwen, a contender also for the green jersey, who finished outside the time limit for the day. Mark Cavendish from T-Mobile, who we talked about a few days ago, who was planning on withdrawing after Sunday stage, actually withdrew with about an hour into Sunday stage. And then, tragically, Michael Rogers, who also went down. He crashed. He missed a turn, crashed, got back on his bike, but then ended up having to abandon with some injuries to his face and his knee and some other areas as well. He's from T-Mobile. And you certainly have to give him credit for getting back on his bike. He must have been in massive pain. So it was a brutal stage. Congratulations to Rasmussen on what was an amazing chicken run. And we'll see how it goes. The next day, Monday, was a rest day for the Peloton leading up to stage 9, which was today. And we will be bringing you that right on the other side of the break. Well, today the punishment just didn't stop. We had that really difficult stage yesterday and the day before, and now in today's stage 9, we've got 159.5 kilometer stage from Val d'Isère to Briançon. There are two intermediate sprints, but what rules the day are the climbs. We start with a beyond category climb at the Col des Arans. We then have a descent heading into the Col du Télégraphe, which is a Category 1 climb, which is immediately followed by the Col du Galabier, which is a beyond category climb. This is a blistering, brutal stage, and one which was extremely compelling. Now, we just talked about the jersey wearers, but remember, Michael Rasmussen is wearing both the yellow jersey and the polka dot jersey. Well, of course, he doesn't wear both, so the second place polka dot jersey holder wears that on a day when the yellow jersey wearer is also the holder of the polka dot. So today, wearing the polka dot jersey was Sylvain Chavanel because he's in second place. Now, quick with a summary of the withdrawals, we talked about Michael Rogers and Stuart O'Grady being out due to a crash, Mark Cavendish out because he abandoned, Robbie McEwen out because he arrived outside the time limit on Sunday's stage, and a freak accident occurred at the end of Sunday's stage. After the stage was over, after the racing was over, Patrick Sinkowitz was on his bike heading back to the team hotel. He ran into, or at least he had a crash with, a local fan. The fan sustained some very bad head injuries and actually had to be helicoptered to a hospital. Sinkowitz also went to a hospital, and he's now out of the race because of a broken nose and some other injuries from that crash. Now, today it seemed like there were a number of teams who had a number of different strategies, and it looked like Discovery probably had the most organized and well-planned out strategy for the day. Now, the tough part about today's stage is it starts almost immediately with this beyond category climb, the Col de l'Isaron. And heading up the Col de l'Isaron, Discovery's Yaroslav Popovich attacked and was at the top of the climb first, a full 30 seconds ahead of second place, Laurent Lefebvre. In third, Juan Mauricio Soler from Barlow World, and it looked like he and Barlow World may also have had some tricks up their sleeve. In fourth place, Anthony Chartreux from Crédit Agricole, and in fifth, somebody who's having a great ride so far this year, Mikel Astarloza from Euskaltel. Now, at the first intermediate sprint, Popovich was still leading, and he took the first points, second going to Jose Gutierrez from Casta Epargne, and third to Steph Clement from Bouygues Telecom. Now, at this point in the race, there was a break that included several riders beyond Popovich. They were about 2 minutes ahead of the peloton. They included Popovich, Astarloza, Gusev, Gutierrez, Vaugrenard, and Clement. Shortly thereafter, there was a little bit of excitement, and they loved showing this on the television. It was a little bit sad. Marcus Burkhardt from T-Mobile destroyed a front wheel when he hit what looked to be a Labrador Retriever. Both Burkhardt and the dog appeared to be okay, but as one of the television commentators mentioned, I think they're both going to be sore tomorrow. Dogs are right, folks. No animals were hurt in the recording of this podcast. The wheel, on the other hand, was definitely dead on arrival. Now, the next sprint was at about the 99.5 kilometer to go mark. First place on that sprint went to Mikel Astarloza, second Vladimir Gusev, and third Jose Ivan Gutierrez. At this point, with 95 kilometers to go in today's stage, the six-man break had a 3-minute, 15-second advantage over the rest of the peloton, and they were heading up to the base of the Col du Télégraphe. That's a Category 1 climb, and it precedes a beyond category climb. Heading up the climb, Astarloza opened up a distance between himself and the rest of the break and ended up taking the first place King of the Mountains points at the top of the Col du Télégraphe. Meanwhile, back in the peloton, Juan Soler from Barlow World had attacked the peloton and moved away and headed up toward the break. And it was interesting because even on television, nobody really expected this Soler to really do much today. And then before anyone knew it, as they were heading up the Col du Galibier, Soler bridged and then passed the break, coming up seemingly out of nowhere to pass the break on the right. And as I mentioned in the Twitter, he was then leading the break and putting the hurt on the race leaders. He literally rode away from the race and headed up toward the top of that final beyond category climb. Now, perhaps telegraphing a little bit of discovery strategy for the day, pun intended, Yaroslav Popovich momentarily tried to stay with Soler as they headed up that very difficult beyond category climb, but Popovich simply could not keep up with the acceleration of the Colombian from Team Barloworld, and Soler powered away from the Discovery Channel rider and up to the top of the mountain to take the number one points for the King of the Mountain points at the top of this very difficult beyond category climb. So at the top of the mountain, first place points went to Soler, second to Popovich, third Contador, fourth Cadel Evans, and fifth Mikel Astarloza. Meanwhile, behind Soler and the breakaway behind him, there was an attempt by the yellow jersey leader Michael Rasmussen and the rest of some of the major contenders for this year's Tour de France. There was an attempt to try to bridge the gap. They never quite made it, and at one point they even splintered in their attempt, leaving Levi Leipheimer in the second group behind the Rasmussen group, and you could literally see Leipheimer begging the rest of the boys in the group to try to work together to bridge the gap and bring back the leaders. At the end of the race, Leipheimer was quoted as saying that he was extremely frustrated with the way that they were all working, and he hinted that he felt that they weren't even riding like professionals. And it was a comment that was being made consistently during the stage, that these were professional cyclists who didn't even seem like they understood how to put together a pace line and track down a break. It was very sad. In the end, though, I think Leipheimer ended up looking fairly fresh-faced at the end of the stage. I think he still has plenty left in his legs and a possibility of being up there in the top 10 by the time we get to Paris. Meanwhile, chasing Soler down the mountain in the descent as they headed toward Briançon were Popovich and Contador, both from Discovery, and it seemed like this was Discovery's strategy for the day, to make sure that they had men in the lead breaks of the day so that they could capture top points and keep themselves in the contention for the victory in the end in Paris, either for the individual or for the team. And this may be showing a new change in the strategy by Discovery, because it's entirely possible that, contrary to everyone's feelings pre-race, that Levi Leipheimer was going to be the leader in this year's Tour de France for Team Discovery, it may be that the leader of Team Discovery from here on out is Alberto Contador. Time will tell whether or not that's the case, but I will tell you that Popovich and Contador put up an extremely valiant effort to try to chase down Soler. Unfortunately, it did not work, so that at the end of the day, it was Mauricio Soler from Colombia and Team Barloworld coming in first place in 4 hours, 14 minutes, and 24 seconds. Coming up in second, Alejandro Valverde from Castepaña, 38 seconds behind Soler, because he powered ahead to try to gain sprint points, along with third place, Cadel Evans from Australia and Predictor Lotto, also at 38 seconds. Coming in fourth, Alberto Contador from Discovery, 40 seconds behind the race leader today. In fifth, Iban Mayo from Sonier Duval, 42 seconds back. In sixth, the yellow jersey of Michael Rasmussen, 42 seconds back. In seventh, Levi Leipheimer from Team Discovery, 42 seconds back. In eighth, Kim Kirken from T-Mobile and Luxembourg, 46 seconds back. In ninth, Andreas Kloden from Team Astana. Again, just amazing to see how well he's doing after the troubles he had earlier in the race last week, 46 seconds back. And in 10th, Carlos Sastre from Spain and Team CSC, 46 seconds back. In the end, Michael Rasmussen does keep the yellow jersey. In second place in the general classification, Alejandro Valverde from Spain and Castepaña, 2 minutes and 35 seconds back. In third, Iban Mayo from Spain in Sonier Duval, 2 minutes and 39 seconds back. In fourth, Cadel Evans from Australia and Predictor Lotto, 2 minutes, 41 seconds back. In fifth, Alberto Contador from Team Discovery, 3 minutes and 8 seconds back. In sixth, And 3 minutes, 18 seconds behind Michael Rasmussen is Christophe Moreau from France and AG2R. Team CSC's Carlos Sastre is in seventh place, 3 minutes and 39 seconds back. And amazingly, in eighth place from Team Astana, Andreas Klöden, 3 minutes and 50 seconds back. In ninth, the only rider from Team USA and Discovery, Levi Leipheimer, in ninth place, 3 minutes and 53 seconds back. And in 10th, Kim Kirkin from T-Mobile, 5 minutes and 6 seconds back. Also making a very valiant effort considering his injuries in 21st place, pre-race favorite Alexander Vinokourov, 8 minutes and 5 seconds back. Now beyond Michael Rasmussen in the yellow jersey, we have Tom Bonin still holding on to the green, 141 points in his hands. In the white jersey, Alberto Contador from Russia and Team Discovery. No surprise there. And in the polka dot still, Michael Rasmussen with 98 points. Now tomorrow is stage 10 from Tallard to Marseille, 229.5 kilometers. A few more climbs to go here in the Alps, two intermediate sprints, two category 4 climbs, and two category 3 climbs. It's going to be another tough day before we hit a flat stage or two, and then the Pyrenees. Well, we've had a lot to cover today, so this has been quite a long show. So just two very quick notes for you at the end of today's show. First of all, we talked very early, I think perhaps in the first Daily Tour podcast this year, about an application for your Palm Pilot or your Trio, your Palm Organizer in general, that would allow you to follow the Tour de France. It was pretty much a static application, but it's a great reference tool and something that I've been referring to. But I heard from listener Kevin, who not only is a listener and a cycling fan, but is also a software development over at blueflavor.com. Don't worry, I have a link in the show notes. He tells me about a piece of software that they have written for the iPhone. So for those of you who are lucky enough to have already picked up your iPhone and you're looking to follow the Tour de France on your iPhone, they've written an application known as a leaflet. Kevin tells me that leaflets are small web applications that were built to run over AT&T's Edge network so that they can be used anywhere. Now, they've written a leaflet called the Tour Leaflet, and it runs a lot like, well, your typical feed reader or RSS aggregator. It's pulling in information from a variety of different sources during the Tour de France, including the Daily Tour's Twitter feed. It's a great way to keep up on what's going on with the Tour de France when you're not able to be at a television and watching what's going on. So go ahead and check it out. It's at www.blueflavor.com. And of course, I've got a link in the show notes. And finally, there's one other sort of a jersey classification that I haven't talked to you about, and I've hinted at it in today's show earlier, and this is what's known as the Prix de Combativité, and that simply goes to the most aggressive rider in each day's stage. Typically, this is somebody who's broken ahead of the field and has really shown great heart and great aggressiveness in the day's race. And then the following day, they get to wear a special bib. That's a red bib with white numbers. And at the end of the tour, a final award for the most aggressive rider is given to that person who has shown the most aggressive, combative, if you will, in French, riding for a particular day. Today, the winner of that special prize is going to go to Alberto Contador. So tomorrow, when you're watching the wrap-up of the day's racing, look for Contador to be wearing a red bib with white numbers. And as you're watching the stage each day, try to guess, if you can, who's going to be wearing that special red bib at the end of each day's racing. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's twitter.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour podcast, brought to you by The Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.